Hey founders, this is the SaaS Boss Show, the podcast for SaaS founders in the growth stage who want to get unstuck, build high-performing teams, and get clarity about how to build a profitable startup. Every week, I interview SaaS consultants, coaches, and experts who work with dozens of startups just like yours and share their best strategies to overcome the daily challenges of growing a profitable SaaS. My name is Natalie Luniva, and I'm a growth and leadership coach to SaaS founders, and I'm also married to a SaaS founder, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us on this conversation. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this bi-weekly call with the SaaS expert. My name is Natalie Luniva, and I'm a growth coach, and I help SaaS founders to get unstuck, clarify marketing priorities, and grow high-performing remote SaaS teams. I'd like to welcome my guest, Matt Wallach. Matt is an investor, coach, and a fellow podcaster. Matt knows the SaaS world from the inside out throughout nearly two decades of startup experience. His expertise lies in sales and, in particular, crafting a buyer journey in order to maximize conversion at every stage from lead to close. Thank you for taking the time to share your experience, Matt, with the SaaS Boss community.
Absolutely, Natalie. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So today we're going to talk about demos and maximizing conversions during the demos. Now, there's a bunch of ways to add more leads top of funnel, right? But if you have a leaky bucket and so your process is not optimized, then running a demo is just one of them, right? Then basically, regardless of how much traffic you're pouring in, you're just not going to maximize the revenue.
That's so true. That happens a lot where people are very concerned about getting traffic, getting some awareness and some interest, which is really critical. And you should be doing that. So they put processes in place for marketing. They hire the best marketing people to help them, which they should. However, they don't think about what's going to happen once that lead comes in, and they don't put the same process in play, and they don't get the same experts helping them out on the sales side. They just think, hey, let's just unload everything we can about our system and hope that that works. And it usually does not work.
I love it. And I cannot agree more. And I actually had a funny experience. One of the founders that I worked with had someone else doing the demos because the founder was kind of busy with all other things, right? Which is understandable. And then we decided that, hey, the conversion doesn't look good. Why don't you try taking it back again and see what results are? Not because he is the best salesperson, but in his case, it was because the product was very technical. And so, not everyone can explain. And just the founder is the only one who has this passion, right, about his product. And so when he took it back, the conversion skyrocketed. I don't have exactly numbers, but I know that it was substantial.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I've seen that happen a lot as well, Natalie.
All righty, Matt, we are excited to hear more information from you. Take it away.
Okay, that sounds good. So I'm glad Natalie had me because I'm really excited to share three tactics for how you can close more deals in the first 10 minutes. And so what I came up with was the perfect deal process. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So let me explain what that perfect deal process is. First, the D in deal, that's discover. You have to be outstanding at learning about your prospect. You have to know exactly what makes them tick. We're going to really focus on that today. Then you educate. You have to show yourself to be an expert. You have to demonstrate that, get them to trust you and believe. That's educate. It comes right after discover. From that, you need to associate your product and what you're doing to them. You need to associate to what you've discovered, the pain, the goals. Make sure you can tie your solution, your product, to their pain and their challenges. And if you can do that, you're going to see a lot of success. And finally, you need to be able to lead. When you can lead the conversation, when you can take control, and when you can guide that prospect right on through to the close, you can kind of hold their hand through every step. You're going to close a lot of deals. Let me show you what I mean. I want you to meet Piotr. This guy is awesome, one of my clients. He is so great. He came to me. He's out of Poland. He has a terrific program. He's built a really good product, but he was seeing some frustration. He wasn't really getting the types of results that he was looking for. This product is Dataedo, really cool data system documentation and such. This is their growth chart. And I've taken out the numbers to hide some of the information for his own sake. But look at his growth chart. And I really love this because he's gotten up to a good point. But then once he reached that point, he kind of flattened. And others may have seen this as well. really couldn't get past a certain limit. It was very level. However, there were some down months. This would happen. So you would be at a certain level, but then a really down month and not a lot of upside. And that's really, really tough. So Peter came to me and said, hey, I just can't get past this point. What do we do? Well, we implemented the perfect deal process, and that was right here. And so once we put that in play, once he was able to absorb that and put it into his company, boom, look at that, a 45.7% increase just like that. Let's take a look at how you can apply this to be able to get to where you want. But before we can talk about where you'll be with a good process, with something that's really, really repeatable and you can scale it for your company, let's talk first about where you are now. And so I want everybody to kind of jump into the chat. We're going to do a self-assessment. And what I want to do is try and figure out exactly where you are now. So looking at discovery, just discovery, that process. And yet, I don't think a lot of people understand how to do it. And I certainly didn't know what I was doing when I first got into the SaaS world. That's one of the reasons why it was a struggle for me early. So first, if you are running a discovery process with little to no questions, and maybe there's not really a structure to that discovery process, and you really don't have a plan on what you're doing and how you're going to use your discovery, then in that case, you would be red. Okay. Now, next level, if you've gotten to a point where you have some questions, but not quite great ones, you don't feel good about them yet, and you don't really dive in or go deep, and you really don't have a lot of consistency if there's multiple people doing this, or even consistency in your own calls from call to call, then you're yellow. And then lastly, if you do have specific questions and a really defined process, if it's structured, if you've got a good plan, you deliver it well, and you really have a total consistency amongst your team, then of course you're green. Okay. Now there's three ways we're going to do this. And that's what we're talking about. So if you're ready for the three ways, let's jump.
Yes, we are.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So tactic number one is connect with your prospect. And you say, Matt, of course we know to connect. That's easy. Of course. Well, first, before I explain how to do it and what really helps you do that, well, why would you do that? Well, when you're able to kind of connect and form a bond with your prospects, with your buyers, you're actually five times more likely to close the deal. Okay. It's also giving you a 243% increase in closed deals. So you're going to be able to generate quite a bit more deals, quite a bit more revenue just by connecting with your prospects. But how do you do it? Well, really there's three secrets to do it. And these are things that you should be doing, but you don't see very often, surprisingly. And one of the things is turn on your video. I see this all too often. In fact, I do what's called sales process audits. Big software companies hire me to come in and audit their team, audit their sales reps to see how they're doing. And experienced salespeople who've been in it for a long time, so not just software founders who are technical founders who just kind of built a company and are doing demos, I'm talking experienced software salespeople will not turn on their video. And it's very frustrating because when you turn on your video, it creates a connection with your audience. First of all, one of the main things is they're able to look into your eyes. That is very, very critical because they're able to build trust. It's a natural human connection. And when they can look into your eyes, they are much more likely to believe in you and trust what you're saying. It's very simple. If you can just turn on that video, you're going to be connecting with your people more.
You know what? I think in the last few months, especially due to COVID, I've heard a saying that we've got 10 years of digitalization into 2 months. So hopefully more and more people are actually turning on their cameras these days, but yes.
Yeah, that is a great quote, Natalie. I totally agree. It's kind of fun. We've been accelerated. And this turning on the video is great. You're going to connect and try and get them to turn on as well. Sometimes they won't, but if you ask them, they usually will. The one thing I will say is once you get to your product demo, once you finish discovery and you get to the demo, then turn the video off. And the reason I say that is because you want people focusing on your product, focusing on the solution, not really focusing on what you're doing or how you're moving. So turn it off. And then if you want at the end to turn it back on when you're doing all the final touches, that's totally okay. So turn on your video.
I have not thought about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It can really, really help. Okay. Number two, build rapport. It's really helpful early in the call to make sure you just kind of break the ice a little bit. you should be doing some research, a little bit of pre-looking up of your prospects to learn a little bit more about them. Maybe you want to talk about where they are based. Anything you can do to kind of just break the ice will get them talking more. And right before discovery, if you can get them ready to talk and talking more, you're going to learn more and more about them. So one way to do that is building that rapport, just kind of opening it up, getting to know them on more of a personal level before jumping into business. This does not have to be long. 20, 30 seconds is fine. It does not need to be 5 to 10 minutes. Do not go that long. And the last one, be personable and be like that cute little green frog there. If you can do that, if you can be personable, infuse some humor, show that you are a person. People buy from people, be personable, be you know, infuse that humor, throw in some fun stuff here and there, and you're going to find a lot more of your buyers connect with you. So let's move on to tactic two. Tactic two, I want you to get specific pain and goals. And I don't mean just get pain and goals. I want you to get specific pain and goals. I want you to know exactly what's happening. Now, when I look at this and when I train about this, a lot of people know, yeah, I need to get their pain. I need to get goals. They don't go far enough. They don't get to the exact level of pain and goals that you must get. But how do you do that? Well, there's three secrets. First secret, you got to set the order of your questions. Yes, your discovery process should be structured enough that you have an exact flow that you know you're going to go through. And first, you need to get really clear on their current situation. What's going on right now? Where are your metrics? Where are you? What's happening? Before you can figure out where do you want to go? Where do you want to be? Where are you expecting this to be if everything turns out really well? Now, once you get that, then you can figure out what are the roadblocks. If you're here and you want to get to here, what's in your way? What are the challenges? What are the pains preventing you from that? And I want to focus on that goal because earlier, Natalie, I said we need to get exact. And I really mean exact. You've got to get the specific stuff. I don't want to hear a goal of something like, yes, we're looking to grow. No. I need you to get to how much you're looking to grow, by when, and how are you going to do it? Okay. I'll give you an example. I was doing a demo years ago and I asked a guy, hey, I want to hear about your goals. Where are you looking to be? Oh no, we don't set goals, is what he said. He told me they don't do goals. And I was kind of taken aback because I hadn't heard that before. And I said, what do you mean you don't do goals? Like, how does that even happen? How are you a business? Oh no. We don't believe in it. We don't have a philosophy for goals. Now, I could have sat there and said, okay, that's fine. I'll just move on. But that's not going to help me. In order to be able to help them get to where they need to be and solve their problem, I need to know where they need to be. And so I said, okay, well, earlier you told me that you're serving 20 schools. Okay, they were a business that helped schools out. Earlier told me you're serving 20 schools. How many do you want to serve next year? Oh, we need to get to 40. That's a goal. That is a goal. So even though people sometimes don't think of it in that way, it's up to you to be the expert to navigate to figure out what you need out of them, okay? So you can do it, just make sure that you get it. Don't settle for less. So get those exact goals. And then with the pain, you need to ask questions that draw out pain, okay? Not just a general question, something very generic like, is it painful? What are you gonna hear? Yes, or sometimes no. Neither of those are helpful for you. You need to know exactly what the problem is to one, see if you can even solve it, and then two, explain to them how you're going to solve it. So one of the things I do, and a lot of my clients really, really get a lot of value out of this, is have a slide, or if you're in one-on-one, have a sheet. And if they don't know what their exact pain is, that's going to happen. Oh, I don't know. We don't really have a lot. I want you to show them, because you don't want to ask, is it painful? I want you to show them a slide or a sheet that has a bunch of different things that your potential buyers might be struggling with and things you've heard. And I say, hey, people who come to me, this is a lot of the things that they're saying. They say that they don't know how to close any deals, or they suck at demos, or the prospects don't see the value. And once you do this, that usually gets them thinking and they start to associate themselves to a lot of these and they start realizing, oh yeah, that one and that one. And I've had people who said they don't have pain come on this slide and say 8 different things that they're struggling with right now. That gives you something to work with. I call this my frustration slide. And when I put this in front of somebody, they just open up and unload. And you don't want to ask, make sure you get exact. You don't want to say, you know, something like, are you feeling any of these? They'll just say, yes. Yeah, that looks good. Make sure you say, which of these are you feeling the most? Okay. So they have to call them out. Okay. And that way they're going to give you the exact pain that you need. Now, why do you need this pain? Well, I mentioned it before. You need to use it. You need to be able to take what they've given you and then apply your solution, or what I call in the perfect deal process, associate your solution to that pain. Once you know exactly what they're struggling with, that's when you can say, see here, this feature, this crazy benefit that we've built that's amazing. Remember you said that you've got this pain? This is your solution to that pain. That's when their eyes say, wow, it's right. Let's jump into number three, tactic number three. And this one is a fun one. Usually people's favorite, twist the knife. Now that sounds really sadistic and evil, but I promise I am not, although we will go down that path a little bit. But before we do, a little divergence. Have you ever heard of a movie called Lawrence of Arabia? Natalie, have you heard of this one? It won an Academy Award in the 60s. So yeah, I know it's old. It's my parents loved it. Lawrence is not actually from Arabia. He's an English who goes to Arabia and kind of engenders himself into the culture a little bit. But he's a really cool, suave guy played by Peter O'Toole. And at one point, he holds up a match and he looks at it introspectively. And then all of a sudden, he reaches over with his fingers and puts out the match. And the other guy in the room looks at him and goes, whoa, didn't that hurt? And Lawrence very coolly says, but of course it hurt. The trick is not minding the hurt. And that is the best English that you're going to get out of me in terms of an English accent. But it's very funny because he felt pain. He clearly felt pain. He said it hurts, but he's not minding the hurt. And this is very similar with your buyers. In many instances, they have pain and they even know that there's pain, but they're dealing with it, okay? They deal with it because they think that's just work. Here's another one from Monty Python's Holy Grail, which I love. If you've ever seen it, it's hilarious. This knight gets his arm chopped off. His arm is chopped off and there's blood squirting out. And the guy's like, okay, our fight's done. He goes, no, just put a scratch. And he wants to keep going. And it's like, what? This is what's happening. Your buyers, your company you're selling to, they feel the pain, but they don't think it's bad. They think it's fine. So what do you do when someone feels pain? Well, let's make an analogy. Your buyers are equivalent to somebody who has a knife in their gut. Of course, the first step is you need to make sure they identify that they have that knife in their gut. Okay, because a lot of times they don't even notice it. They don't realize it. Hey, by the way, you have a knife in your gut. Oh yeah, so I do. Oh, well, I've been going along this long without it. It's fine. I'll be okay. It's just work. That's what it is. We're okay. Now, the instinct when you see a knife in a gut of somebody is you want to help them and pull it out. Well, let me take care of that. You don't want a knife in your gut. I'll just take care of that. Don't do it, okay? Do not pull the knife out. What I mean by that is if you identify somebody has pain in discovery and you say you see it and you finally get them to identify it, do not just say, oh, our solution, we're going to solve that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to fix it. Our solution is going to do this for you. It's going to do that. It's going to be great. Don't do it. Do not pull the knife out. Do not sell during discovery. This is a big one. It happens all the time. Experienced reps, experienced founders do it all the time. As much as you want to jump in when they tell you a pain point and start explaining how awesome your program is, don't sell during discovery. Okay? Instead, what should you do? Twist the knife. Okay? Again, it sounds evil, but you need to twist the knife. Now, before I explain how you're going to do that and what it really means, some other coaching experts, some salespeople, Natalie, I'm sure you've heard this, they call it stretching the gap. And what this means is you have your buyer on one side of a cliff. They need to get across the gap to the other cliff, okay? And what you want to do is try and make it look further away than it actually is. You want to stretch the gap because if they're only here, they might say, hey, if I go back and I run really fast, I might be able to make it across. Well, you don't want them to be able to make it across by themselves or think that they can make it by themselves. You need to be the bridge. Your solution is that bridge that gets them to where they need to be. So stretching the gap does that. You make it, you show them that, hey, you can't get there by yourself. You need to work with us. We're going to get you there. Okay. And that's good. Goals are good to work with, but pain is better. Okay. So it's fine to do stretch the gap, but it's really goal oriented. You want to get to that goal. pain is better for you. Of course, not for them. And of course, not in the real world. But what we're talking about is the psychology of loss aversion. In the psychology of loss aversion, the pain of losing is actually twice as powerful as the pleasure of gaining. That's why the unhappy person there crying, she's bigger than the other happy person. So anyway, you want them to feel loss. It's going to be much more powerful for you. So in order to do this, you really need them to identify that they have pain. You need to find it and make sure that they see it. Okay, so there's the knife. I see it. Okay, great. But don't stop there. But wait, there's more. You also need them to feel their pain. You need them to feel it badly. You need to make sure that not just, oh yeah, I do have a knife. No, no, no. You need to twist that knife, make them feel it badly, and say, ah, that hurts. I need it out. What am I going to do? How am I going to solve this? Okay, this is critical. So how do you do that? How do you twist the knife? How do you make them feel that pain? Well, first, don't just rest when they tell you a pain. You need to make sure you dig into that and twist that knife. Ooh, that sounds bad. What has that cost you? Okay, how have you personally been affected by this? Where would you be if you didn't have that knife in your gut right now? And how great would it be if you didn't have this? Get them thinking beyond that. Get them emotional, okay? When they start getting emotional about this, that knife, oh, it's really bad. I didn't think about it, but yeah. You know, you said that it's taking you 20 hours a week for your team to be able to do this process. What if it only took 1 hour? What else could your team be doing? What other projects do you have in mind? Oh yeah, we could do this. Get them emotional, get them excited, okay? Because only when they actually see what the pain is costing them, only when they get to that level will they understand the true gravity of it. And then you can pull the knife out in your demo. But to recap, let's just go back with what we were talking about. Three tactics that you can take and apply right away. Connect with your prospects, get specific pain and goals, not just pain and goals, get specific on that, and twist that knife. Okay, when you're able to do these three things, they're a really big head start on your discovery process. Because we talked about when we were looking at the perfect deal process and building out each phase of your solution, each phase of your demonstration, all of that is important. But that discovery is so key right in the first 10 minutes. We did that little demonstration or that little exercise earlier with the red, yellow, green. Now, if you can get this to green, that is going to be very, very powerful and get you off on the right head start for your calls.